Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Antonio Brown has already gotten his first workout as a Buccaneer under his belt, and it went well. Bruce Arians said the veteran receiver looked, quote, fantastic, and that the two had a really good conversation. Former NFL defensive back Orlando Scandrick joining Undisputed. Orlando, great to have you. I'm going to start with you. Will AB work out in Tampa?
I think it does. The situation is a great situation for him. He doesn't have to be like the guy right away, but he's going to be a serious, serious weapon. I compliment Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, Jason Light for that signing, and it just keeps getting better. The rich keep getting richer.
I agree with you. I think it'll work for the simple fact it's only going to be half a season. So, and plus, if we're to believe what BA said, is that I sat down and I had a great conversation with him. I think that's the thing that you have to do. When you bring these guys in, no matter, you know, what the situation is, let's talk about what our expectations are from you. And it's a very short line here. There's only one way to do things. It's my way or you're on trail way. There is no late for meetings, not even one. There is no missed practice or late for practice, not even one. So,
but
go ahead.
But as a player, and I think you can relate to this as a player, you respect honesty. So if that's
yes.
The true conversation that him and BA had, and it was an honest conversation, and he told him what he wanted, and he laid it out, and Antonio laid out what he was going to be. But BA's got to stick to that. If Antonio's late one time, if he results back to that behavior because he's not getting the ball, he's got to stick to his word, because Antonio is a hell of a player, but he's one of those people you got to kind of keep your thumb on. You got to kind of keep – if you go back and you look what happened with the Steelers, early on he was great. He was fantastic. Even Ryan Clark said it. But once he got better and once the success started to creep in, it was one of those guys that they seen. Once you paid him, you weren't going to be able to control him.
Right. And you allowed him to be late. So 5 minutes turned into 10 minutes, turned into, like, later for this, Gil. Oh, practice, what we need that for? Because, like, but here's the thing. And then it got to the point where he became, like you said, he became uncontrollable. And then he started bucking on anybody that would challenge him. Like, AB, don't do that. What you mean? I'm a six-time, I'm a Pro Bowl, I'm all this, all that. But now he understands. After being away from the league is going to survive. Remember he went on IGRO and says, I'm going to do things my way. If they don't want to play by my rules, they're not going to play. I'm not going to play. He found out the NFL has been in business for now 101 years. They're going to be in a business for another 101, and they'll be in there without Antonio Brown. He understands that now, so hopefully I hope it works out, because I believe that he's paid his debt to the NFL. Now, they got some other things going on. He's going to have to pay his debt to society, whatever that case may be. But the NFL says he's free and clear with us. So I hope it works out. But like you said, he's a guy you got to keep your hand on, because at least that's when you least expect it, he going to be AB. AB going to be AB. So BA needs to be BA.
I'm sorry. I'm calling baloney on your last statement. You do not hope it works out. You hate Tom Brady.
No,
you don't want to see Tom Brady win another Super Bowl.
Skip, it doesn't change my life. It doesn't.
It changes your life in that seat every day.
Why?
Because it's hotter and hotter. Wronger and wronger.
He wins another Super Bowl because he linked up with great talent, because that's what you said about LeBron. LeBron won all the talent. So now, what you criticize LeBron for, you praise Tom Brady for getting all the talent, right?
But time out.
Yeah.
You were the one who went on the record about Antonio Brown and said there's no way you'd have him on your team.
No, that's not my team.
Okay.
I'm talking about
but
me.
If Tom Brady makes it work with AB, goes and wins a Super Bowl
yes.
with Antonio Brown,
yes.
who the Steelers couldn't control and the Raiders just blew apart
with. Hold on, one second, Skip. But AB has... AB is a guy that when he respects you, he stays in line. He lost all respect for Ben Roethlisberger. That's why he started to buck him. He lost all respect for Mike Tomlin. He started to buck him. I don't think he ever had respect for Mike Mayock or whatever. What's the guy that's the
Mayock
GM down there? Mayock. So you see that blew up. I don't think he ever respected Gruden. That blew up. You know, the guy ain't going to practice, complaining about a helmet. But then he gets down there to New England and everybody say, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And look what happened in the first game. You know, that was cut short by some other issues that AB has going on that he has to handle. But you, as a Tampa Bay Bucs, you can never have too much talent. And at the end of the day, if the talent fits with the culture, then, you know, sky's the limit.
Okay. I went on record the first day and said this isn't a good move. It's a great move because it involves the GOAT at quarterback who does have a rapport and a respect with AB. And I think it's mutual. I think Tom Brady just is in awe of AB's ability to run routes and how hard he works in practice. Right. Remember John Gruden at Hard Knocks was screaming, 84! You're going to lead this league in energy, mm-hmm. right? Well, he does.
Right.
And he electrifies your whole practice because he loves to practice. So does Brady.
Right.
Okay? But the head coach of the Buccaneers wrote off AB as a, called him a diva and said he'd be a bad fit here. He wants no part of him. And he did coach him for a little while in Pittsburgh when AB was a young player.
Right.
And then AB said, oh, we sat down and had a really good conversation today because now he wants credit for having brought him in.
Well, Tom
deserved none, AB.
Tom talked him into it.
I guess so. Well, that's what happened to me. So, look, do I think there will be some internal conflict with AB and somebody? He's who he is. I don't think he's a nice guy. I don't think he's a good guy. He's had issues wherever he's been. Will he rub somebody raw in the locker room? Will he get on under somebody's skin? Will he maybe be 4 minutes late to a walkthrough? Mm-mm. Just watch. Just watch. He will, and they'll just have to look the other way, and Tom will have to handle it.
Well, see, you're starting a bad precedent looking the other way because that's what the Steelers did. They looked the other way, and then all of a sudden, they didn't have to look because he wasn't showing up.
But last point, though, you know what this league is about. We're going to tolerate you until you can't do nothing for us.
Tolerate you until you replace you.
Yeah, they tolerate 10 weeks, which is 2.5 months, as long as it's doing something for them. You'll tolerate a lot for a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Now, when you start struggling a little bit and you got to ask yourself what's going to happen down the road when you get into one of these 20, 23 games and it's the last drive and AB might have thought he was open and the things didn't go his way. You would just like to think, I would like to think as a man and as a player that Antonio has learned his lesson and knows this is his last chance.
And what about the two Pro Bowl receivers, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin? Are they going to be real happy about this
when
they get three catches instead of eight?
Mike Evans is fine. I think Godwin shows you when Tom comes and he hands over his jersey number for nothing. He shows you what kind of guy he is. I think those guys want to win. I think Mike's been there so long and the culture's been so bad and the losing's been sunk in. I think now he's got a chance to win. He's got all the money. You know, and now with the chance to win, and the chance to be cemented in Tampa Bay history, I think they'll be fine.
It's going to be very interesting because it's hard, when you go from being a Pro Bowl thought of as a top 2, 3, 4, 5 receiver, and all of a sudden you catch him because he's getting half the numbers that he normally gets. And the question is, how do we keep everybody happy? Because that's what happened last year in Cleveland. You remember Freddie King? We got enough ball. We're going to keep everybody happy. And he kept no one happy.
No one.
And then it ended up falling apart. But I believe Tom Brady, because of Brady, because at the end of the day, the quarterback must have the ultimate respect. And the thing that I like about Tom, and Tom reminds me a lot of John, even though a lot of my success came through his hands, he never said, well, you're successful because of me.
You're talking about John Elway.
Yeah. And see, I think Ben might have said some things that rubbed AB the wrong way, where you do realize that your success is really tied to me. And because that's why AB tweeted what he tweeted. Oh, you think it's because of you? Let me go somewhere else and I'll show you. Yeah. So hopefully, I hope it works out because I don't know, this is last chance you for AB. Because if it doesn't work with Tom Brady and it doesn't work with BA,
true.
Where is he going to go? Where is he going on now?
Mm. Home. The home. Okay. Back down that lonely road. But what we can all say, Skip, you included, because you played sports at some point in your life, sharp, multi-Super Bowls, winning cures all.
It does.
Winning to make things go away. You look down there in Kansas City, they got all those weapons. You know, 1 week, Tyreek might have 180. 1 week, they might rush for 150, 200. 1 week, Sammy Watkins may be the guy. But, you know, those guys never complain. And when you winning and being down there with those guys, just they love football. And when you winning, winning cures all.
And by the way, Shannon did not complain when he went to Baltimore and was catching like one ball a game, except you're only throwing three balls a game, right?
That's it. That's it. But you know that 1-0? I would take that thing to the house. I'll pick it up. Ah, go, go. Mm. I don't need one. They all the ball. Oh, they need 10. Throw me 10 balls. Give me one in the right situation.
No, you, you and I can give you Ray Lewis and your.
Yeah, you're going to see what he did, though. You see, he don't diminish my. He want to diminish my role. Talk about that Ray.
Greatest defense in the history of football.
Okay. But we still had to score some points on the offensive side, Skip.
7-3.
No mercy.
This weekend starts Saturday strong with the Big Noon Saturday Game of the Week. Jim Harbaugh and the 13th-ranked Wolverines face off with the Spartans in one of the wildest Big Ten rivalries. It all starts with Big Noon kickoff at 10 Eastern, and then Michigan State, Michigan, Saturday, noon Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. So despite the Cowboys being 2-5 and experiencing many key injuries, Ezekiel Elliott is remaining positive, guys, heading into their game against the Eagles, who lead the NFC East. Zeke said, quote, if we win this week, aren't we first in the division? We're still right where we need to be. We're still at a place where we can make a run for the playoffs. The All-Pro running back also said they can't have excuses no matter how many guys you have down. Former Cowboys quarterback Orlando Scandrick still with us. So, Orlando, do you like what Zeke had to say here?
Sure. It was a really politically correct line. Politically correct. Oh, Skip, I see your face looking over there. I like what he said. I like what he say because it was politically correct. I see you over there, Skip. But the answer to that is no, you're not in first place because you just lost to the Washington football team. You're not in first place at all. That team's off this week, which that team will come back next week to play the bottom New York Giants. So, I mean, yeah, it's a great company line if we win this week, but I don't even see – this team don't even show no fight. They don't compete. They look like they've simply given up. And it's so many weeks left in the season. And, you know, week after week is – first it was Zeke when I have it on my back. I got to do better. This is my loss. And it's like I know Ezekiel Elliott, like, really, really well. And when Zeke did best, you know, he just came out and he talked to his play. All of this talking in the media every week, it's a different guy saying we just need to win. The energy is baloney. It's terrible. Like, you just get tired of hearing it. And you're just a bad football team. There shouldn't be a lot of talking coming out of a 2-5 or is it 2-6, whichever one they are. Shouldn't be too much talk coming out of that locker room. They should have got together as a team. You know, the leaders on that team, the guys on that team who are supposed to be leaders and just get better every day. Just try and look better every week. But this team has progressively looked worse and worse. And now there's no Dak Prescott to have these meaningless stat games. You know, I'm not taking nothing away from Dak, but there's no Dak to have the excitement. It's just like, at this point, you're getting tired even seeing this team on TV.
Yeah, I've been tired. But the thing is, the problem that I have with Zeke should have never said, you know, I'm going to step up and be a leader, because if you're going to be a leader, you don't need to tell us you're going to be a leader. You just go out there and play, and then that'll speak to your leadership and go out there and do things. And I agree with you, O. That was the politically correct thing to say. But you know what, guys? Look, I'm not even worried about the call. We're just going to go play our best football, and at the end of the game, we'll see and at the end of the year, we'll see where we are. But we just need to win a game. They look awful. They're awful. And the offensive line, Skip, even if you get Zach Martin back, you still got two bad tackles. Mm-hmm. And the one thing the Eagles can do is that they can get after your quarterback.
Yeah. By the way, Looney might be back at center, too, but still two bad tackles.
two bad tackles. Right. And so,
but
go ahead, O.
But I'm sorry to cut you off, but what do you think that if you couldn't block the Washington football team, what do you think Fletcher Cox thinking right now?
Hey, but the thing is, Washington built their team. If you look at their front five, six, they're all first rounders. You look at Kerrigan, you look at Chase Young, you look at the two Payne, you look at Allen, you look at Sweat. All those guys are first round draft picks. Okay, you go to the Eagles, you look at Brandon Graham and Curry, you look at Barnett, you look at Fletcher Cox. They're built to go get your quarterback. And you know Jim Schwartz put you in the wide nine and say, go get him.
Will.
Absolutely.
Go get him. And that's where that
put you in a wide nine. He's going to put you in these one-on-one situations.
Yes.
He's going to put these tackles on islands. And,
yep.
You know, if this team does not, like, have a gut check and say we're going to compete and not embarrass ourselves, Philadelphia will definitely try and embarrass them. I've been on the other side. There's not an ounce of love there. And ain't an ounce of love in Dallas for Philadelphia. And they would definitely try to embarrass you. And
yep.
Philly is one of those teams who they believe. I give it to them that they believe. They believe even when they shouldn't believe, and they know – that maybe it's not what they think, but they do definitely believe. And they're looking at it here saying, we've been through all of these injuries. Now Dallas has no quarterback. They're terrible on defense. This is our opportunity.
And the thing is, before you go, Skip, the one thing you can do against that wide nine, you can run. If you can't run the football against that wide nine that Jim Schwartz played, you can't beat that team. Because they're going to pin you, they're going to put you a yard outside of that tackle, and they're coming. As simple as that, Dallas. Zeke, this better be your game. You better run it.
How about if I have a rookie seventh-round draft pick at quarterback? You, how about that?
You in a heap of trouble, Skip.
Ben DiNucci. Thanks, Madison.
There's also not an ounce of mercy in the Philadelphia Eagles. This is going to get ugly quickly. The Cowboys are now a 9.5-point underdog. Think about that. 9.5-point underdog at Philly, and I don't think it's nearly enough. I think it's going to be way more than that. I already told you, this could be like 40-3.
They're going to bow up. They'll bow up. The Cowboys will bow up. They'll bow up.
I don't remember when Philadelphia beat anybody by 10 points. It's been a long time.
Well, just watch. Because my team has fallen hopelessly behind for 6 straight games. Even to the New York Football Giants at Jerry World, my team was down 17-3 in the second quarter, early in the second quarter. Is that more than 10?
But 14 in 6 straight games.
Skip
and Shay, can I take you back a little bit? We talked a few weeks ago about coaching. Now, it looks like they progressively getting worse. Are the players getting worse? Because it's the same players. Or does people have time to see what they're doing schematically and they're coaching and our team scheming them and the players are just bad? Which one would you say?
They have quit on the coaches, the new head coach, and especially the new defensive coordinator. And Jerry Jones just got rid of all the free agents he signed on defense in the offseason because every one of them was bucking the new system. They were all clashing with Mike Nolan, and he said, I'm going to get rid of all of them.
Jerry.
Who vouched for him?
Jerry did.
Say, you know Jerry don't know no Daryl Worley. He didn't know that guy before he walked in. Somebody walked in to him and said, we want to sign this guy. But, yep. And can you sign off on it?
But here's the thing.
They said, we want to sign 30 pounds, overweight Dontari Poe. Can you sign off for it?
But here's the thing, Skip. What does Jerry always say? Jerry say, from the time I set foot in this building, I had final say on everything. And it's always been like that. So let Jerry tell it. Jerry knows what's going on.
I'll tell you this, he knows what's going on Sundays because he's watching the film. But somebody brought him the menu and said, this is a good restaurant. And then he went there and said, oh, I'm going to sign off. I'm going to sign the bill. But when he left, he said, this is a terrible restaurant. The food wasn't cooked.
Okay, back to the Zeke quotes. This is exactly what I did not want to hear from the best player I have left on my team, the de facto leader of the team. I don't want to hear, hey, If we win, we're in first place, right? He's asking the media. And then he said, we're right where we want to be. You're right where you want to be? Are you kidding me? If I look back to the last 13 games last year, what happened? How many times did they fall? Remember what happened? Green Bay? They fell behind 31-3 to Green Bay.
Yes.
This is a recurring nightmare pattern that this team is going through. And he's saying, we're right where we want to be. I need to hear some anger. I need to hear some sick and tired, some urgency, some watch this. Or the truth is, I don't really need to hear anything. I need to see something, right?
Yep.
I need to see. You've seen a team's body language. Orlando's been on teams where you came out of kickoff and I could just sit and watch my TV and I just knew you came to play that day as a football team, right? I have not seen that for going back 2 years for my team, not for 2 years.
But he got a little bit of that Jason Garrett in him. That's still, he was raised. That's who he was raised by.
Hold on one second.
No, I'm not blaming anybody, but that's what he was raised up in. And you know, all of our team meetings started
that's
off
true.
As, don't worry about what they're saying outside. We got everything we want right in front of us. If we handle our business, we got everything we want right in front of us. And essentially, that's what he's trying to say. But they haven't handled their business since this season started.
They hadn't handled their business since the last half of last year. So that's why they got rid of Jason Garrett. And Skip told me they got them a made man. They got Mike McCarthy. But you didn't realize how good that guy up in Lambeau, how much he covered for Mike. You're starting to see.
You mean Brett Favre.
There you go. You're talking about. Well, think about it. All he's ever had was Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. You better win a bunch of games over with those quarterbacks, right?
I mean, but Jerry knew that before he decided to hire this, before he decided to only interview two coaches.
Exactly.
That you interviewed Marvin Lewis, and then you had a guy spend the night at your house with all them nice hotels in Frisco, all them nice hotels in Dallas.
Yep.
All them nice places to stay. But they even got the man an Airbnb.
First
you
of
have
all,
him stay at your house.
Oh, you and I both know that he only interviewed Marvin Lewis because that was the Rooney Rule. He did
well,
that, got
go
that
there.
Out the way. But once he
I don't
got
to go there.
Stop it. You know D well. He was not hiring no Marvin Lewis. Okay, you might not want to go there, but let's go ahead and speak fact. He identified
by the way, he should have.
Yeah.
He should have.
He identified who he wanted. That's why he didn't interview. Remember, because they asked him, did you talk to Lincoln Riley? No, I ain't talking to Lincoln Riley. All these great young none of them. He identified his guy because Jerry looks at, just like Don Terry Poe, just like Everson Griffin, just like Ha-Ha, he looks at that name, Mike McCarthy, Super Bowl, that was a long time ago. Don Terry Poe, Pro Bowl, long time ago. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, long time ago. Gerald McCoy, Pro Bowl, long time ago. Jerry likes splash. Jerry likes designer, even though it does not go with what he has. Fact.
So essentially you're saying he likes vintage. Vintage designer.
You know, once you make a Pro Bowl, that's on your resume. But if
Absolutely.
I make a Pro Bowl in year two and I'm in year 14, hold on, wait a minute, bro. That was many, many years ago. And you signed
that.
Don Terry Poe. So are you telling me Don Terry Poe gained 40 pounds since the season started, Skip? You and I both know Don Terry Poe ain't gained no 40 pounds since the season started.
Mm.
He been overweight.
I think he was overweight when he did his physical to come in. But to my point, what I said about Mike McCarthy a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I'm not blaming the coaches, but I think at some point this guy is kind of old school. It's not resonating with these guys. We're in a different time. We're in a social media time. And I think the time that we're in, the coaches that you're seeing having the most success are the coaches that can adapt to the younger culture and the younger coaches.
Let me tell you what's not resonating. That defensive play. That's what's not resonating. Now, we can blame the coaches. Now, we blamed the coach last. We blamed Jason Garrett last year. We got
a new
staff.
No, but you don't go from like upper half, even middle of the pack, to dead last.
Hold on.
It's dead last.
Hold on,
they can't stop a note. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. And every single player that they have is playing worse. So you're telling me everybody went home and over COVID because of quarantine, they got worse? Or the scheme that they're playing in is terrible.
Skip just told me they fell behind Green Bay by 31-3. Now, we've seen this a reoccurring theme. They fall behind, and then Dak has to do theatrics to get them back respectable. They're still
they
falling
behind.
They
fell behind Green Bay 31-3.
And they're still losing.
That was a great team, and sometimes you're just going to not have it. It's just not going to be your day.
Oh,
you know that, Shannon. Let me just finish.
I know
let
them your guys, but them
let
guys
me,
playing garbage on defense.
I'm just going They are. I've never said they haven't, but just let me speak facts.
So, Orlando, sum this up. Can you see this team winning one more game? Because I cannot.
It's going to be hard, you know. And so, I'm going to go back to Shannon because I feel like I can't let you get out of here on that. if you didn't need coaches, why do they have them? If it didn't matter about schemes, why are they paying all these coaches this type of money? As a player, it's your job to produce. As a coach, it's your job to get the most out of each player.
So,
it's your job to get the most. It's your job to put your players in position. They're not even in position.
I want to know one thing. Is your high-dollar players on defense, since they got their money, are they producing? It's a simple yes or a simple no.
I tell you one thing.
As long as that one thing is a simple yes or simple no, you can tell me one thing. But don't
tell where you're going with this.
No, I'm going nowhere.
No, they're not producing.
Okay, thank you.
But you're asking a question. You set me up for a question with an answer already.
Hold on. All I know is a guy got...
like saying, all I want to know is...
Okay, I know a guy that got paid $21 million and he has 3.5 sacks in 20 games. I know a guy that got $60+ million, and he running around like a blind dog in a meat house. He know they out there, but he can't see nothing. So all I want to know, those are your two big guys
true.
That you got paid, and they're not playing.
DeMarcus Lawrence and Jalen Smith, let's name them.
Hey, come on. Yep. Look, I get it.
No, I understand you.
It's hard to do what we do in this business. It's hard to do it, but I call it. Hey, you know what? I'm going to have my people at NFL Film to send me the tape. And we're going to break down tape. And we're going to look at these guys. We're going to look and see. And I want you to tell me, say, oh, yeah, he did it right there. Because I saw a quarterback, a college quarterback, jack a defensive end up. And the guy running back go 40 yards down the field. A college quarterback playing tight end, jack the defensive end up. And you saw it, too.
Next question.
Next question. That got heated. Orlando, we appreciate it.
No mercy.
The Clippers may be looking to upgrade at the point guard position by signing Rajon Rondo, according to reports. The veteran guard just won the title with the Lakers, but has made it clear he plans to test the free agent market this offseason. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us now. Chris, could you see this happening?
First of all, I love the music. but yeah, I could see it. I could see it happening. I'm not predicting it, but it is definitely a possibility. With Rondo opting out, we know why he opted out. He wants to get paid, and rightly so. He played for less than $3 million last year. Obviously lost some of that with the pandemic. And then the year before, I think he was making about $3 million. So he hasn't had a nice payday in a while. So after helping the Lakers win this championship, it's time for him to get paid. And if the Clippers outbid the Lakers, I think Rondo will make that move. They both can offer about the same amount, with the Lakers, I think, a little bit more. But both teams have other needs they need to fill, other guys they need to sign. So which one will step up for Rondo and give him more money? I think he'll go to the highest bidder that has a chance to win a championship. So, look, also, if he did make that move, he wouldn't have to move. He could stay in L.A. And then, importantly, guys, I think Rondo is making a strong case for the Hall of Fame. And if he were to go to a third team and help them win a championship, the Clippers say help them win their first championship, that would be huge for his Hall of Fame argument and his legacy. So he's what the doctor ordered there. They need leadership in the locker room. We know Kawhi isn't talkative. Rondo's played with better players than Kawhi. He's not afraid to get in anybody's face. He's got respect from guys because of his championships. And remember what Kawhi said after they lost to Denver. We need to improve our basketball IQ. Rondo has a high IQ. He's a coach on the floor. He can make plays, which is what they need from that point guard position. So I think this is a very real possibility.
But you remember the last time somebody challenged Kawhi, you remember what happens, Chris. He sat it down for 73 games. Remember that when he was in San Antonio? The guys got in his face? He said, because that's what Rondo is. Now, is it possible? Yeah, absolutely. And this is what happens. You win a title. Guys play extremely well. They play their way into huge paydays. I believe KCP is in line to get a big payday. I believe Rondo is in line to get a big payday. Now, the question is that Rob Pelinka and the front office is going to have to say, okay, how much are we willing to go? Now, if they go way overboard, but I think the big thing is, Chris, it comes down to this. If both teams can offer the same thing, it's basically a backup role versus a starting role. That's what it's going to come down to. Does he want to start? Rondo, a lot of people had given up Rondo for dead. The Lakers took a chance on him 2 years ago. He re-signed. He played it, parlayed that. 9 points in the playoffs, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. He proved he's the third most important player behind AD and Bron. There's no question about that. So the question is playing 25 minutes a night or possibly starting and playing 30, 31, 32 minutes a night? Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to come down to, because the money is going to be the same, basically the mid-level exception. Mm.
This will not have anything to do with money. This is about legacy, opportunity, as Chris Broussard just pointed out. And this is going to happen because Rondo can see his way right down the highway to the Hall of Fame. This is a Hall of Fame
back
move.
Back to back will be getting good to the Hall of Fame,
and
too.
Here's the point about Kawhi Leonard. He wanted out of small town San Antonio. He wanted out from under Greg Popovich. He wanted to get home to Los Angeles, at least to the L.A. area. He is home now. So Rondo can get in his face all he wants. He does not want out of Staples. He wants out of the basement of Staples. He wants to go upstairs and hang a banner.
Well,
That's what he wants to do.
Hang one. He's going to hang one. Almost got past the second round.
Rajon Rondo is the final piece to the puzzle, the championship puzzle of the Los Angeles Clippers. It's exactly what they needed. If they had had Rondo last year in games 5, 6, or 7 with leads of 16, 19, and 12, help me out. Do they get home in the fourth quarter? You better believe
it. You know what this is about, Chris? This is not about no Rondo. He wants them to weaken the Lakers. That's what this is about.
Well, that would be part of it.
Yeah,
part,
a lot
the
of it.
Icing on that
cake.
Yeah, that's what it's about. Because he is your third most important player. And often in the finals, he was your most important player.
Stop it.
He took over fourth quarters.
Stop it.
Who led them in fourth quarter assists? Rondo. Playoff Rondo.
Yeah, I do think, Shannon, that... Yeah, you said it. If Rondo, say the Lakers, he stays there and they win it next year, does that help his Hall of Fame bid? Kind of, but obviously LeBron and AD get most of the glory. If he goes to the Clippers, even though Kawhi and Paul George will be better, and Rondo, you know, does his thing in the playoffs, his playoff Rondo, he will get more credit with the Clippers because it'll be viewed as like, wow, he came here in his first year and he got this team over the hump. He gave them everything they needed to win this championship. He'd have championships, obviously, in Boston and L.A. Yeah, I think it would help his legacy more if he did it with the Clippers.
Chris, let me show you what the Clippers are going to hang up opening night in Staples. This is the banner they're going to hang up. That's what they got, Chris.
That's funny.
Yeah, they got it, Chris. They're going to hang that up.
That's
we're going to hang 2020 champ, baby. Raise to the Raptors, number 17. That's what y'all hanging.
That's really
lame. You won't see. I see right through you, Skip Bayless. All he won't, he wasn't mentioned anything about no Rondo until they just came to the forefront, and he started thinking, not only could I possibly strengthen this team, but I could weaken them. And that's what the Clippers did. That was the mistake. Anybody that we had interest in, what did they do, Chris? Marcus Morris. We wanted him. They gave up a first rounder to get him. We wanted Reggie Jackson. What did they do? They promised him a starting job to get him. Everybody we wanted, they jumped. Oh, Paul George. Guess what, Paul George? He didn't want to come here. They gave up five first rounders to get him. We wanted Kawhi. What did they do? Promised him land in Timbuktu. And guess what? They got him. So all they do is try to get our leftovers.
And now they got Ty Lue.
Yeah, they got Ty Lue.
Now they got Ty Lue.
So all they do is get leftovers. y'all the dirty. We the champs. Everybody gunning for us. But guess what? Rob Pelinka is in there like Minority Report, the Minority Report with Tom Cruise. He and Bron and AD, they putting these pieces together. Maybe Bradley Beal, maybe Victor Oladipo, maybe Vucevic. Ain't no telling what we might do. But I tell you what, we got something for you.
I know what we might do. We are going to go get Rondo. And, Chris, do you remember what Deion Sanders did back in the 90s for the 49ers and then the Cowboys?
Oh, that Rondo Deion.
He goes to Absolutely. San Francisco and helps Steve Young finally break through and win a championship. And then he says, oh, Jerry wants me? I'll go help Barry Switzer win a championship with the Dallas Cowboys. Now Rondo can go Deion. He'll say, well, I helped LeBron and AD win a championship. Now you got to go save Kawhi and Paul George and Ty Lue.
So Rondo going to save Kawhi.
Yep.
But hey, Chris, do you remember what Rondo said immediately after the game? He said he was sitting at home, and he was thinking to himself, he said, if I got with LeBron, somebody that has an IQ like mine, it's going to be virtually impossible for someone to beat us four times before we beat them four times. Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't mention Kawhi. He didn't mention Paul George. He mentioned no other superstar.
Thank you.
He said LeBron.
That's exactly
because
right.
Because that's what he do. So,
yep.
Great mind, Skip.
Mm.
He great mind.
Now the great mind's going to the Clippers.
No, they didn't.
They did not have a pure point guard.
What is Pat Bev?
Pat Bev is an excellent on-ball bulldog pit bull defender, and he's an opportunistic scorer, but he's more of a two-guard than a point guard. He averaged two assists in the playoffs. Kawhi was the point guard, and Kawhi just dribbled the team to death because that's all they had.
The only thing Pat Bev is on guard. He ain't no point guard, first of all. But hold on, I thought they had arrived. He said it's their time. Remember, he was telling everybody that this offseason when they got Kawhi and Paul George? He told Steph Curry, y'all had y'all time. Y'all time up.
Yeah, you're about to get
He told your, LeBron, Ron, you know it's up. Over. No, Skip, we just get started.
Rondo is
back to back,
Clippers.
Jack.
Yep.
Back to back.
Just enjoy Rondo this one while you have
you're
it.
You're right, Skip. They need a point.
Yep.
Chris, we appreciate you helping us throughout the conversation today.
No mercy.
According to Fox Bet, the Buccaneers now have the third highest Super Bowl odds at plus 800. Giants head coach Joe Judge has taken notice of the Bucs and their new leader, calling Tom Brady the fiercest competitor of all time. And that is a strong statement. Shannon, do you agree?
No. So I'm just supposed to believe that he's more competitive than John Elway or Ray Lewis, two guys that I played with. I think the thing is people just love to label people that have won and won a lot as competitive. Just because Tom Brady has won 6 Super Bowls, that doesn't mean he wanted it more than the guys that lost. Skip, a lot of things have to go well outside of Tom playing well. And when you play a team sport, I can see now individual sports, Skip, okay, you want to say boxing and Floyd Mayweather or yada, okay, I get it. Mixed martial arts, I get it. But when you play in a team sport, no. So since Tom Brady won 6, Bill Russell is the most competitive guy ever. Because he has 11 championships since we want to do it because he won. No, I do not believe Tom, and there's no way to definitively quantify it, but just by saying because he won and he gets fired up, there's a split personality. But to make a long story short, sorry for the filibuster, no, I do not.
Shannon Sharpe, I have been trying to explain this to you for 4 long years on this show. When it comes to cold-blooded clutchness, the closest thing we've ever seen to Michael Jeffrey Jordan is Thomas Brady.
So he's more competitive than Jordan.
I don't even have time to get
this. Is he more competitive than Jordan, yes or no?
I just said the closest thing.
No. But Joe Judge said he's the fiercest competitor of all time.
As fierce is what he said. As fierce.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no. I disagree.
Here's what keeps misleading you. Tom Brady is a wolf in sheep's clothing because off the field, he doesn't look the part or act the part of this cutthroat killer on the football field who turns into Psycho Tom. You just can't see past all the nerdy, cliched, geeky, lame social media posts from Tom Brady. And you say, what is he doing? That's not the way a franchise quarterback should act. But you can't see through your hatred of Brady to the fourth quarter performances. He's only won 6 Super Bowls with 6 game-winning drives in the fourth quarter overtime. That's impossibly great. That is actually beyond Jordan because he's had more opportunities to be clutch than Jordan.
So he wanted it more than the guys that he beat. They didn't want it. Tom just wanted it more. So that's the way we define it?
No, he just did it.
Okay,
then.
At
the highest level in the biggest game in your sport.
Yes.
He took the game over 6 times in the fourth quarter. Actually, 7 times, 8 times, because he took one over against Eli and should have closed that deal. And Belichick's defense said, here, we'll give it back to you, Eli.
Kind of like Pete Carroll decided to say, here, Russ, give it back to Tom Brady like that.
I thought that was the right call. You love Russell Wilson, right?
Stop it.
Do you not love him? Good pass.
So let me ask you a question. So the Russell Wilson we see today, that was the same Russell Wilson back then?
I think it was.
Stop, Skip.
Pete Carroll was saying that. That's what he said. I want the ball in his hands.
Skip, you and I both know that was a beast mode-led Legion of Boom
team. Okay, all I know is that in the fourth quarter of that game against the Legion of Boom, Tom Brady threw for 124 yards and 2 touchdowns and brought them back from 24-14 down against a legendary defense.
And he did that.
Legendary.
And that was because he was more competitive than the defense.
Well, he's the most competitive quarterback I've ever seen, and that's no disrespect to your guy, John Elway, Joe Montana.
But he's just done it more than those guys have
on the biggest stage.
Okay, Skip, to say he's competitive, but there's no way to really quantify this because he's won. So if we're going to just base it on winning, shouldn't Bill Russell be number one?
Look at what he did in AFC Championship games at Kansas City in overtime against Mahomes. Boy, he converts 3 straight 3rd-and-10s to drive them in for the game-winning score. How about against Saxonville?
So let me ask you a question.
With 20 stitches in the palm of his throwing hand, he throws for 138 in the fourth quarter and brings them from 20-10 down to get them to another Super Bowl.
I guess he wasn't competitive last year against Tennessee.
How can you argue against what you see? What do you see from it?
I just want to know. So was he competitive? Was he the most fiercest competitor last year against the Titans at home? A simple yes or simple no?
No, there's no simple answer to that because yesterday you gave in to him and gave it up. What? And you said, you know what? I was so wrong about Tom Brady because he didn't have any receivers.
I'm saying, was he not competitive? Was he not fierce competitor then?
I told you what he did at the end of the year last year with nothing left in the cupboard. So he had them in position to win the 2 seed.
When Joe Flacco went to New England and beat him twice, was he not a fierce greatest competitor then?
No. I mean, he loses some. He's mortal. Okay. He's human.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
He's been in 9 Super Bowls, and in another one that he lost, all he did was throw for an all-time playoff record, 505. And Belichick's defense gave up 41 to a guy you have no respect for, Nick Foles.
But here's the thing.
A journeyman.
But you see, when he loses, it's everybody. So we don't mention nothing about the fierce competitor when he loses. Only when he wins.
Joe Judge knows because he saw it up close and personal.
Joe Judge.
Just leave it at that.
No Judge Judy.
Just leave it. No comment.
Yeah.
There.
Close game.
No mercy.